bringing heaven to earth one show at a time. We Are One in Spirit podcast opens the airways for people to discuss their spiritual journey, personal beliefs about God and Goddess, and share life-transforming experiences that remind us that we are all one in spirit. And now, serving as a vessel of healing and unifier of all faiths, here's your host, Lavender Rose.
Welcome to We Are One in Spirit podcast, where spiritually minded people chat with an expert on various enlightening topics. Our format includes a teaching or interviewing segment, followed by a session that allows listeners to ask heartfelt questions and receive an inspired answer to help them take the next step on the ladder of ascension. Welcome, everyone. I'm Yvonne Perry, your host for today. I'm a spiritual teacher and the author of Whose Stuff Is This? Finding Freedom from the Thoughts, Feelings, and Energy of Those Around You. You'll find my books and this show on my blog, weareoneinspirit.com. I want to remind our listeners to press *6 on their telephone keypad to mute your line so you can go about your business and make all the noise you want to without disturbing the quality of our call. This call is being recorded. Today on We Are One in Spirit podcast, author Charlene M. Proctor is my guest, and she's speaking on a topic that is near and dear to my heart, oneness. That's where the name of the show comes in. We are one in spirit. Charlene is an ordained minister of spiritual peacemaking. Love that. And a Diksha facilitator trained by the Oneness Guides from Fiji and India. Charlene Proctor's mission in life is to help awaken people to their divine magnificence within all humanity. Charlene has written a new book that brings us back to the true essence of our spirituality, the Oneness Gospel, birthing the Christ consciousness and divine human in you. It's a rich mix of science, spirituality, and mysticism that transcends the boundaries of religion and uplifts the reader to that place of oneness. Welcome to We Are One in Spirit podcast, Charlene Proctor.
Thanks for having me today, Yvonne. I really appreciate being here.
Well, it's a privilege to have you teach us for the next few minutes, and if we have others on the line, we'll respond to questions from our listeners. But let's get started by having you tell us, what is the Oneness Movement? What do you mean by that?
Well, the Oneness Movement, I think, originated in India, although, you know, that's kind of a narrow point of view because we've always been in the Oneness Movement since the beginning of time. But what was coming over from India is a set of teachings that's kind of designed to awaken the human family and offer this gift of grace, which is like a spiritual opening to all people rather than just a few selected seekers. So there was a couple out there, Amma and Bhagavan, who had opened a school for children many, many years ago, and their whole objective was to teach these kids how to be open and connect with grace and so forth, and began working with energies, and they discovered a lot of amazing things, and that just kind of evolved into more of a set of spiritual teachings that people from the West as well as people from all over the world kind of took hold of and grabbed. So eventually, through a series of circumstances, I had gone out there to study with the Dasas, which are the monks in both India and Fiji, and to get a sense of experience of the truth and the mysticism and the robustness of these teachings, which I think are very unity-oriented. You know, they're very, very universal, which is kind of what oneness is all about.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
So when we're talking about oneness, that kind of does away with the idea of us and them and my religion's better than yours. It's more like, no, we are one race, we are the human race, and we are one with the divine is within us, and it's time for us to start expressing that rather than being so competitive and greedy. And so separatist mindset where we can do things without thinking of how that might affect another person. So part
exactly.
of that oneness. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, just on your thought, that oneness, to me anyway, means to be completely aware of God within yourself.
Mm.
And the more that we can operate every day and just do an everyday test to really remember that, we're remembering our own divinity, and we're reconnecting with that thing we call the divine presence. And the thing I've learned over the years as a writer and a teacher is that the thing that gets us really in danger of losing our, and it's really just an illusion, we really never lose our connection, but we adopt this illusion of separateness. And it becomes a very, very debilitating thing, which is actually the thing that they say in the East is the biggest disease of Western culture, is our belief in separation. They said that is the total cause of all suffering in the Western world. We need to practice seeing ourselves as aspects of creation and part of this wholeness, this thing we call all that is. And I was talking to somebody earlier today, and we were kind of laughing about it because, you know, we have these big lofty ideas and these big concepts, you know, about how we should get up and work our day. You know, we're going to get up every day and remember that we're part of all that is and we're part of this big oneness equation and so forth. And then we start our day as a human being and encounter, you know, one challenge after the next, and it's hard to employ, you know, the energy of what that really means. So my thought on all that at this moment is that, you know, our awareness and truly our enlightenment, or rising ourselves to a higher level of conscious awareness, is just being aware of this oneness. To be aware that we are connected, and to try at every opportunity to use that in our relationships and our interactions, and to connect with that idea, and then over time, I think, you know, we adopt a higher level of vibration, and we attract so much more goodness in our lives. I can't say that enough, and I'm sure you can't either, but it takes practice.
It does.
It's funny because we're just remembering who we are, and then we have to remember to practice.
Sometimes we have to unremember. We have to cut the cord to the past and get rid of our old program, and that has taught us to live in such a fear-based mindset. And I think that's what's upsetting a lot of people, is that the energy for this shift is very prevalent, but we're looking at it rather than seeing a return to oneness. We're seeing it as upsetting my life and upsetting my apple cart, and where people are losing jobs, and because the shift is requiring them to take a look at themselves and what they're doing and the practices that they are employing, and to return to that authentic self. And what Spirit may be doing in that job loss is saying, you didn't really like that job anyway. It didn't really fit who you are. It's not your divine calling. Look at the opportunity in front of you. But we tend, because we are humans, and like you said, we have adopted that illusion of separation, we tend to cling and fight and fuss and resist what Spirit's trying to do. And what Spirit's trying to do is bless us.
Like a bunch of kicking children. Well, we don't want the chaos. I noticed on your write-up about your show that you talk about the goddess and every now and then. And do you remember Madame Pele? Madame Pele is a Hawaiian goddess, and she represents transformation, the big, billowing smoke, you know, volcano that erupts, and kind of the lava's moving down the mountain, and it's just slowly burning everything, and it's charbroiling the earth, and all that's left is black and emptiness.
Ashes.
But the whole symbolism of her story and her goddess mythology, if you will, is that there is no transformation without chaos. There's no transformation without chaos, because eventually you're going to see green little shoots popping through that dry, healed lava, you know, or whatever it's called after the volcano dries up and cools off. And there's a new opportunity for growth. It always happens. And, you know, a lot of us as teachers and authors have begun to really reinforce this idea that we're living in this upheaval, time of upheaval. You know, we're losing the jobs, our economy is shifting, we're having different kinds of work relationships, personal relationships, and so forth. But there isn't any transformation without chaos. We need to take a piece at a time and turn it over, just like we're plowing the earth, and take a look at it, because part of raising our consciousness at this time in our human history is about awareness and to see clearly, to see life as it is, to see your own experiences clearly. And you mentioned something earlier about filtering life through the old programming. And these are the lenses that are beginning to drop from many, many people. It's like all of a sudden they're raising their awareness and saying, oh my gosh, you know, this thing doesn't work for me anymore. This relationship isn't good anymore. I'm looking more closely at my own behavior, my own interactions with other people, the energy that's emanating from me and either attracting, repelling certain circumstances in my life. And what is that? You know, people are able to look more clearly to see where their old conditioning is and begin to be more present in life rather than living on autopilot and as a knee-jerk reaction to the past, which is huge, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is an exciting time. I know for many folks it doesn't seem that way, but we're making great progress, I assure everybody.
Well, we are rising from the ashes, and like you said, from the lava, we are those green shoots springing forth. There can be no resurrection without first there having to be a crucifixion. We are dying to our old ways. And it's time for the goddess energy to arise. And by that goddess energy, I'm talking about the nurturing, the turn the other cheek rather than start a war kind of mindset. Instead of greed and gimme, take, it's more community mindset. It's let me help you and you help me. And that's the way we express that oneness and that goddess energy. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I'm very big right now into reminding people about that all form is thought. That's kind of been my whole deal the last couple of days. And for us to open up to that nurturing, beautiful mother energy, which has been, you know, squelched and not real prevalent in our own culture, which is a whole other topic we can get into another time, quite a while. But this revival coincides with people's awareness about the idea that all form is thought, and whatever we are projecting is what we are attracting. And if we're projecting these lower vibrations in this lower state of consciousness, we're going to create discord and negativity because it's distorted vibration, hate or exploration or separation, spite, anger, selfishness, all that stuff is so sticky. And we're in a time where we're rising to this higher conscious awareness, which is simply being aware of the divine presence, or God, or the goddess, or however you would define that in your own wisdom tradition, basically love, open-heartedness, harmony. These vibrations are non-resistant. They're constructive, and they're creative, and because love acts creatively, right? And so this is what we call living with the flow, which many of us absolutely have no practice or experience in. We're always swimming upstream, and we're resisting everything. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming apparent to me and many other people that we cannot continue as a human community, as a society, or even our family like that. We need to be more in tune with the present, which is another message that this book talks about, because a whole part of that is being aware of our suffering. And to be able not to manage it, which is one of the things they teach us in the East, but to work through that and to be present with it. And maybe that's also part of this transformative energy that's going on right now, this chaos that is in the face of many people, to say, you know, we have to embrace what's in front of us. You can't run away from it. You can't manage it. When we do, we just create more suffering. We have to embrace it, and that's part of practicing, in my opinion, being a more evolved being, because we're designed to do that, actually. We are designed to move through all of those different levels of experiences in our lives. Because if we weren't designed to move through grief or job loss or divorce or a lack of prosperity or whatever your challenge is in your life, the human race would be over 2 million years ago.
Right, right.
You know, we're designed to be, you know, to flow with it. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we've resisted it so long it's been a bad habit and it's caused more idea of separation, you know, and loneliness for people. But no longer, I think it's changing.
It's definitely changing. We're learning day by day, practicing the presence of the divine within us. This is going to create some changes in our lives. It's going to ultimately be beautiful, wonderful, and good. How many people does it take? You know, because when one person shifts, another person shifts. It affects the whole family, the work,
oh, I love that.
Everything. So how many people is it going to take to really have an impact on society so that we see mass enlightenment?
Mass enlightenment, I don't think, is a fruity concept. I think it's totally possible. And this is another mission of the Oneness Movement, is to uplift anyone. And as you know, the idea of mass enlightenment is based on this natural law. You've heard of the 100-monkey phenomenon, right? Or this law of entrainment. This idea that when you have a certain amount of people holding a higher state of consciousness, which is what we call critical mass, the mass consciousness automatically comes into resonance with it. So there was this guy, this biologist, a while ago, and he called it a morphogenetic field. And it represents a field of consciousness specific to a given species, right? So the more members of the species that exhibit a certain trait or vibrate to a certain consciousness, all of a sudden it becomes easier for all the other members of that species to entrain with that trait or consciousness. Mm-hmm. So that just addresses your point about the domino effect, is because they teach you in India that it only takes one person in a family, one person, to change the dynamic and to uplift everyone in that family, one person. So if you feel, for example, that you're a person in a family that is the only person that really gets it, that is the one that is maybe sheltering the burden or always trying to uplift and raise everyone's level of awareness, just remember that you're the domino. You're the person that has the potential to raise the vibration and the consciousness of that entire family. And if you can imagine, if we had each person in each family within a community all doing that, it would transfer to the community, and then there would be more communities with more states and more countries, and pretty soon you have this energetic field that's all the way around the planet. And that's how mass enlightenment happens. It begins with the individual. I always tell people that when you go to church, I think the Unity Church sings that song, Peace Begins With Me.
But it begins with
me. Remember that one?
Yes.
Peace, well, yes. Peace in your heart and peace.
Let begin. There be peace on earth and let it begin.
There
with
you go.
Yeah.
But, right. But, you know, you go there and you sing it, and are people really understanding what it is you're saying? It's like chanting a prayer over and over again that you're not really involved in. But what it means is that if you want peace in your life, then you better vibrate at the level of peace yourself first, because you will never attract that. You will never project it either. That's what Gandhi's life was all about. You know, his whole shtick was peace. And this guy vibrated at the level of peace, and that was his one mission. That's all he did. And that was what he emanated. So, you know, for anyone that's lost or feeling like they don't have a mission in life, you know, think about it sometime and think, okay, well, if I wanted to vibrate one particular idea that's near and dear to me, what would it be? And then hold on to that. Mm-hmm. Because the more that you do, the more that is going to transfer to other people. It's really great practice, really, for mass enlightenment, which is a pretty big idea. But if we each do it individually, it's entirely possible that it can happen. I mean, it's not possible, it's a sure thing. It's just depending on how long it's going to take.
Yeah, it's already happening. I listened about, I guess it was in February, yeah, about 7 weeks ago, to an audio book by Dr. Will Tuttle called The World Peace Diet, and I began to realize how so much of health problems are related to our partaking of animal flesh and fluids, and it just really got hold of my heart, and I completely went off all meat and went on a plant-based diet, and I'm cooking for myself, and I'm seeing total changes in my health, but I'm also seeing changes in my level of peace, and my spiritual connection is so much more prevalent and intense and so easily accessible, and it's just made such a wonderful difference for me, and that's something that I really haven't said, oh, I'm going to be an animal advocate, you know, I'm going to take on the activist role in doing that, but today, the two times that I went out, the subject came up, and I did not invite it. The other person brought it up, and it was talking about diet, and I said, well, here's a change that I've made recently, and I didn't speak anything about animals or compassion or animal rights. I just said, this is what I'm finding in my life, shared that with them, and they were just dumbfounded. I'm like, okay, what's that all about? You know, I didn't start that. I didn't initiate
the universe, it. It's the universe confirming that you are on the right idea for you right now and that you have a gift to be teaching others. It's inviting you to share what you know because you're almost like a little test subject.
I feel that way sometimes.
I know. Well, we all are in one form or another. We're like little data collectors, you know, we're the eyes and the ears of God. And because there's no true learning or evolution without experience, right? Life's about experience. It's not all about intellect. And the presence, and I don't know what you believe, but it cannot possibly evolve, which means we're all evolving, but it cannot evolve or transform without us. That is why each person is so vitally important. Your viewpoint, your experiences, we're like little data collectors for God. Because how can intellect experience anything? You can't. It's like looking at a cookbook for, Southwestern salsa or something and go, oh, yeah, I get all the ingredients and I'm reading about it and I can see how the salsa is prepared and what it looks like and so forth, but I can't taste it out of a cookbook. I can't inhale it. It's not going to clear my sinuses when I'm just sitting there reading it off of a page because that's all intellectual. So this experience is so important for everyone. And, God sees the world through his, her eyes and is certainly seeing them through yours in terms of the diet and informing people about that. And to me, it's just a beautiful confirmation that life is a conscious co-creation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a partnership between both of us. It's not more of the presence and it's not more about us. It's truly a conscious co-creation partnership, and you know that thought alone is really empowering, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're it's about coexisting with the creator or the creatress in anything that we do. I think it's very empowering, you know, to view our experiences that way. You know, if we can kind of reframe it, especially when we hit real bad times, I think that you know, we can open up our hearts and just download a little bit more from the matrix and
absolutely
get a little push, you know, and we're not alone. We are absolutely not. It is a partnership.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed that domino effect. I mean, I had to let my family know because when you go and visit them, they're going to have questions. So I just sent an email to everybody that I thought I might be visiting within the next month and said, you know, look, this is what Spirit's put on my heart, and this is how it's affecting me, and here's what I can eat, and here's what I'm refraining from eating. And if I'm at your house, please don't take offense if I can't eat what you put on the table. I am more than happy to bring my own food and prepare it, and you are welcome to partake of it with me. I would be delighted if you would. And so I'm kind of like almost having to put that ripple out. It's almost like it can't stay contained just in my environment because we are not isolated islands. We are interconnected with others, and our decisions affect other people. And that's part of the oneness itself, is realizing how our decisions affect other people and being proactive in helping them feel comfortable with the changes you're making.
Mm-hmm. And to just be more open and receptive. Live from your heart center.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
Absolutely.
And people, I don't know, that just kind of came into my head, is that, you know, this whole shift is happening. It's a very big one for Western culture. I think you might agree with me on that point.
Because
low left brain, we're so analytical. You know, we're doing things that are just regular everyday things, but we have to have proof. You know, we have to have data about all sorts of things, especially medical. You know, that cracks me up all the time because I go to homeopathic guy for almost everything, and I have 25 years, and I'd say 95% of the time he's right about everything. You know, we'll give him 5% off just for having a bad day or whatever. But
for being
you know,
human.
But science, you know, has to, all of these remedies and so forth, you know, they have to have some big proof, some big analysis, you know, that this exists or that exists or whatever, because we're so obsessed with numbers, and if we don't verify it quantitatively, you know, it doesn't seem to matter. So what we have is like a Western culture that's so obsessed with the logical left brain mind, which is kind of the masculine viewpoint. Again, the mother energy is coming in with the more intuitive right brain. And we're totally out of balance, you know. And it's starting to shift. And the more we learn to integrate that and rely upon our heart, not so much our head, I think that's exciting. I think the pendulum will probably swing really far on the right brain heart side for a while. Where it needs to be is the center, because we can never be without the masculine and feminine. They have to share the stage equally. There's no one that's better or worse than the other, and those traits and impulses and qualities are so vitally important in all areas of our lives as men and women. I mean, men have feminine energy and women have masculine energy, and genetically and biologically we're both.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a rebalancing right now, and the shift, we're making great progress, I think, in shifting to this heart center. Seeing wonderful things.
It's happening. We're watching it just like Spirit's doing the work, and we're just participating. We're being part of that, flowing with it. Well, I want to open the lines for our listeners to ask questions, but before we do that, would you tell us a little bit about your book launch and how we can get a copy of your book?
I would love to. If your listeners could go to theonenesswiththegospel.com and click at the link at the top of the page that says free gifts when you buy the book, you'll see this wonderful book trailer. I love this book trailer. It's a little bit long. It's like 7 minutes. But there's a lesson in there from my new TV show called Your Journey to Joy. And I would love them to go to the book trailer, learn a little bit about the book, and there's all dozens of beautiful gifts that my friends and colleagues are offering when they buy the book on the day of the launch, which is Tuesday, April 24th. So you can learn about that at theonenessgospel.com, or if you just want to learn about me and the book and the TV shows or whatever moves you, just go to charleneproctor.com, and all of those things you will find there. And we'd love people to watch Your Journey to Joy. It's a wonderful program, and I know it's been a positive influence on a lot of people's lives.
Very nice. Well, let's go ahead and open our lines. I've heard some people come on the line, so I know we have some listeners. You can unmute your line by pressing *6 on your phone's keypad. That's asterisk followed by the number 6, and that'll open your line, and just jump in and ask a question. Well, I'm not hearing anyone jumping in. So.
People are shy. But we have a few minutes to talk, so we can just chat until somebody feels like chinging on.
Okay, all right. And I know you need to leave and be on your way in about 5 more minutes, so we'll just kind of do a wrap-up, and if anybody has questions later, I'm certainly welcoming any comments that anybody might want to send. You can always go to our blog. You can go to oneissgospel.com and reach Charlene there, or you can reach me on weareoneinspirit.com. So we're always available. We won't close out. Go ahead, Charlene, and kind of wrap up for us some things that are on your heart that you'd like to leave us with.
I think that... I don't know. Today I'm big on grace. I don't know why.
Oh.
And I just came into my head. So the thing I want to say is, because I know we've talked a little bit about conscious co-creation and vibrations, maybe downloading, you know, from the matrix a little bit more and relying upon that. And I was talking to somebody earlier today, and we're talking about grace. And what it is to me, it is just the holy presence. It's an experience. It's God's love. And we need to understand, especially when we're talking about oneness, that it is our primary connection to the source. It's this knowing that we're taken care of. It's this place where life has meaning. So it's just the presence. And, you know, the one thing I've learned with this writing this book and my experiences, all the mystical experiences and the intellectual experiences I had in crafting this book, is that the more that we invite that grace and to ask for it, the more solid foundation we're going to have that your day is definitely a product of a co-creative partnership between you and the divine. And that is like solid as glue. Grace is like divine love just helping and healing you like a mother. You know, it's this comfort and warmth and you're kind of sitting there being folded into her lap and there's no effort involved. There's no formula, you know, or some rule that says, oh, well, this person gets grace and that one doesn't. It's free and on the house, you know. It's available to everybody. It's this energy that's always there.
I love that.
So I would just say that, you know, if I could leave anyone with a thought, it's just to come back into that space, you know, and to remind yourself that all you have to do is ask. That's it. Just ask for it, and it comes. And I think that once we work with that energy more, I think life reveals more miracles to us, more healing, and more, and, you know, more peace.
Absolutely. I totally agree, Charlene. That is beautiful the way you put that. Daily co-creative partnership, grace being the holy presence of God, Goddess, and feeling that, living in that, flowing in that. So beautiful.
Mm.
Wow.
So that's my thought for the day.
I love it. It's a good one. I'm going to hang on to that.
It really wasn't my thought, actually.
Well, you know,
it's just messenger.
It's one of those synchronistic things because this morning I woke up with grace. The word grace being on my mind was the first thing that I was hearing as I arose. So that's definitely a spirit word to us today.
I love it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much, Charlene Proctor, for being my guest on We Are One in Spirit podcast today. Join us each week for more spiritual information and an enlightening discussion. You'll find our show on our blog, weareoneinspirit.blogspot.com. Until next week, I'm reminding you to see each day, each circumstance, and every person as a divine part of your soul's development. We are one in spirit.
Thank you for being a part of We Are One in Spirit podcast, as we are learning to live an authentic life as loving, accepting, and unified spirit beings having a physical presence on this planet.